Welcome to Smart Advice, a podcast bringing you financial advice, investment strategies, and economic trends. I'm CIBC's financial advice expert, Carissa Lucretiano, and today we're going to talk about the new First Home Savings Account and what it means for first-time home buyers. Housing continues to be a hot topic for Canadians, with mortgage rates and affordability dominating headlines for quite some time now. But why is the goal of home ownership so important to us? While research shows that owning a home can be a big part of our identity, it's a sign of financial and personal success, a rite of passage, and that we are on the right track with life's milestones. It's also a source of great pride. Our recent poll on home ownership found that 87% of current homeowners are extremely proud to have achieved this goal. It's no secret that housing affordability has been a growing challenge in Canada, especially for first-time homebuyers. The Globe and Mail recently reported on how long it would take to save for a down payment in various cities around Canada on a national median household income. Winnipeg, Manitoba stood out as one of the more affordable cities, where young Canadians can save a down payment in just over 29 months. It's a different story for those looking to buy in Hamilton, Ontario, where it will take about 78 months. That's 6.5 years, or in Vancouver, BC, where it could take a whopping 342 months. That's 28.5 years. The government wants to tackle this issue, and one of the ways they're working towards this is the launch of the First Home Savings Account, or FHSA, announced in last year's budget. It's a new registered savings plan that is geared to help Canadians break into the housing market. There's been a lot of interest in the FHSA since it was announced. Our research found that 70% of prospective first-time buyers are interested in learning more about this new savings vehicle and how they can use it. Joining me today is Jamie Gollenbach, Managing Director, Tax and Estate Planning with CIBC. Jamie was the first person I wanted in my guest chair to unpack how the FHSA can support Canadians towards their homeownership dreams, as he's best known for his ability to provide expert advice on how to utilize registered and tax-free savings accounts. And he's already written many articles about it. You can find his content at jamiegollenbach.com. You can also find his tax tips on cibc.com/smartadvice. Jamie, it's a pleasure to have you here today on our podcast. Thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me. So much to talk about on the new FHSA.
I know it is a hot topic, and so I'm so glad you're here. This new savings vehicle, it's catching the eye of many first-time homebuyers. I don't have to tell you that, but there's a lot for Canadians to know. The FHSA has added to the options, the array of registered plans first-time homebuyers can use to help them save for a home. There are technically three, right? Like the RSP Home Buyers Plan. And since, you know, around 1992, something close to $6.2 billion has been withdrawn to help Canadians buy their first home. Then in 2009, the TFSA was launched. Now there's the FHSA. So how can the FHSA work alongside the TFSA and the RSP Home Buyers Plan?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the big question people are starting to ask now that we now have the FHSAs in 2023. So look, I think the FHSA is the way to go, just plain and simple. And the reason for that is that the FHSA allows a first-time home buyer, meaning you don't currently own a home, you haven't owned one in the previous four calendar years, an opportunity to make a tax-deductible contribution of up to $8,000 a year for 5 years. That's $40,000. And then, as long as you buy a qualifying home within 15 years, you can actually withdraw the entire amount. In other words, your contributions plus any income and growth tax-free. So in other words, the FHSA is combining the benefits of the RRSP, which is a tax deduction, with the benefits of the tax-free savings account, the TFSA, in a tax-free withdrawal. The difference, and the main difference, I would say, the real advantage, is that you pay no tax on the way in and you pay no tax on the way out. With the RSP, even the home buyer's plan, yeah, you can borrow from your RSP tax-free to buy a home. You have to pay it back over time. And then when you retire, you're going to take it out and you're going to have to pay tax. The TFSA, you're funding that with after-tax dollars. You're paying tax on your income first before you even have the opportunity to contribute to a TFSA for a down payment. So the FHSA, I think, is the way to go for anyone that qualifies as a first-time home buyer.
Yeah, it really is the best of both worlds from, you know, like you said, the RSP Home Buyers Plan and the TFSA. So, you know, I've read a couple articles that says, you know, is there a catch to the FHSA? So what fine print do Canadians need to consider before opening this account or utilizing it? Like with the home buyer's plan and RSP, there are stipulations like what's a qualifying home and what's the definition of a first-time home buyer?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest caveat is you really must be a first-time home buyer. The first-time home buyer definition is a little bit tricky. It basically means that you can't own a home in the current year or in the previous 4 calendar years. Either you or your spouse or partner owned a home in which you lived in during the current year and the previous 4 calendar years. But other than that, I would say that the FHSA is really risk-free from a tax perspective. There obviously could be risk associated depending on how you invest the money, if you invest in equities, obviously. But you know, from a tax perspective, there's really no downside because, as many people already know, if you end up not buying a home, in other words, you open up the plan because you qualify as a first-time buyer, but then you decide, you know, I'm just going to rent. And in 15 years, you still haven't bought a home, or by the time you turn 71, whichever comes first, all you can do at that point is either take the money out and pay tax, no problem, or you can actually roll the entire amount into an RSP or RIF, which means ultimately you'll pay tax on the withdrawal. So I would say that there really is no downside whatsoever. Even people that aren't even thinking about buying a home, let's say a full-time renter, should probably open up an FHSA to be able to get that extra $40,000 plus growth of additional savings room.
Yeah, because there absolutely is that opportunity or option that if you don't buy the home, it's transferable. So you're right, there is a benefit there. You mentioned couples. So you must get a lot of questions from individuals to say, okay, like here's my scenario and what should I do? So let's unpack a couple scenarios. And there's no one size fits all approach for sure. Everybody has a different situation and there's a lot to digest here. So let's talk about a few examples when Canadians can use or think about when they're opening or thinking to open up an FHSA. Let's say a couple is saving for a home in like the next 5 years or so, and they each put aside $50,000 and they have not contributed to any registered plan. Which account, I think I know the answer to this, which account should they prioritize and put their combined $100,000 to make the most out of their savings?
Yeah, so obviously we'd start with the FHSA. You're going to be limited to $8,000 each. So you can't put the full $50,000 in on day one. So it's going to be $8,000 each per calendar year starting this year in 2023. So that will take them up to $40,000 over the next 5 years. And then the rest of the money, you might consider using the RRSP. And the reason I say that is because you can borrow the money from the RSP tax-free under the home buyer's plan. That being said, probably a better answer is to take a look at your tax rate today and your expected tax rate in retirement, because that's where that whole debate of RSPs versus TFSA comes in. Because after all, you could borrow the money from the RSP, the $35,000 under the home buyer's plan, and then pay it back. Or you could also take the money out of a TFSA and then pay that back whenever you want as well, because you can recontribute all withdrawals to a TFSA in any future calendar year. So effectively, we would look at your tax rate today. If your tax rate today is relatively low and you're going to be in a higher bracket when you retire, then obviously you want to pay tax on your income now and then put that money into TFSA so that later on, when you're in a higher bracket and take it out, the money will be tax-free. On the other hand, if you are in a relatively high tax bracket right now, we obviously favor the RSP. You get a tax deduction today at a high rate, and you get an income inclusion later at a lower rate. So I think the classic debate, you know, what to do once you've done the FHSA, you do RSP or TFSA, lots of material on that, and you really look at tax rates today versus tax rates in the future.
Yeah, that's really good advice. And I know that debate, RSP versus TFSA, you've written a lot about. So, you know, to our listeners, check that out. But that's a really great way of helping Canadians think about how they decide. Because if we look at just what the cost or what the down payment is just in across the country, it's well over $80,000 for a combined couple. So you really do have to think about, you're maxing out the FHSA. Where should you put the rest of the contribution or the rest of your savings? I was reading your Financial Post article on how, you know, the rules can get a little tricky with the FHSA when partners become involved. And in one of your examples, a married couple lives together at a home. One person owns the home 100% outright. The other person doesn't have any ownership, although maybe they're paying bills. This will impact that non-owner's eligibility for an FHSA in the future.
Well, that's right. So I wrote about this because this was actually a question that a taxpayer wrote into the Canada Revenue Agency asking for a technical interpretation. And the taxpayer basically said, look, he owns a townhouse. His partner, I guess, has no ownership interest whatsoever. They even had a prenuptial agreement, but that home is his principal residence. He asked whether his spouse, who doesn't actually own the home, would be eligible to open up her own TFHSA. And the CRA responded that, unfortunately, you can't. And the reason for that is that the taxpayer already owns a home. He lives in it as principal residence, and therefore the spouse cannot open up an FHSA, because even though in this case she didn't own her own home, the fact that her spouse currently owns a home means that she is now disqualified from opening up an FHSA.
And that's interesting. Some people may not know that. One more example, hypothetically, let's say somebody has an FHSA, they then enter into a spousal or common law relationship with a homeowner and then moves into that home. Can the person who doesn't own the home use their FHSA for a new joint home?
Yeah, again, this was also subject of a technical interpretation to the CRA, which I wrote about. And interestingly, the answer here is yes. And the reason for that is that the rules are different in terms of being able to open up an FHSA and being able to take money out of an HSA. See, to take money out, a tax-free withdrawal out, the individual must be a first-time home buyer at the time the withdrawal is made. And interestingly, the requirements for being considered a first-time home buyer for the purpose of opening up the FHSA are different. So in other words, in this particular scenario, they would be able to take money out of the FHSA that they already had and use that to buy, let's say, a new home for that couple. So a little technical, but that's why it's important to make sure you get some great advice before contributing to an FHSA.
Yeah, you read my mind. I was just going to say, every situation is so different. Advice is absolutely key. Another big topic, and you know what we see a lot about, is transition of wealth. And a big goal for Canadians is wanting to help their children, their grandchildren financially by transitioning wealth during their lifetime, actually experiencing them enjoy a monetary gift that is going to have such an impact on their financial well-being. And one in three Canadians plan to do this in part or whole by helping their children and their grandchildren with a down payment towards a purchase of a home. Now, this is an immense kickstart for those fortunate to receive a gift of this size and magnitude, considering that 20% down payment for a medium home price is just over $100,000 in Calgary and around, you know, $220,000, $230,000 in Toronto and Victoria, BC. So if you're a parent or a grandparent, how can you use the FHSA to help your grandkids? Or if you can't, what are the ways that you can?
Yeah, well, this is a brand new opportunity, obviously, that's opened up in the last few months. And the opportunity, of course, is to help that child or grandchild open up their own FHSA. Now, you cannot open up an FHSA for somebody else. The individual themselves, once they reach the age of majority, can open up an FHSA, so that's age 18 or 19. What you could do, though, is gift them the money to contribute to the FHSA. So let's say you've got a parent or a grandparent that wants to gift money to a child or grandchild, they could consider gifting $8,000 a year once that child or grandchild is of the age of majority. That child or grandchild may not have any income, so therefore you wonder, well, can they even use the tax deduction? Well, the good news is that the deduction for the FHSA contribution does not have to be made in the year of contribution. In fact, it can be carried forward to any future year. So you have parents or grandparents gifting money to the kids or grandkids. The kids or grandkids are opening up their own FHSAs, contributing the $8,000, and then hanging on to that contribution deduction. And they may be using that in 5 or 10 years' time when they have some income, and that income deduction becomes tax deductible against that particular income. So I think it's a big opportunity, and we're already seeing a lot of discussion about that, certainly among higher income and higher net worth families that are thinking, how can we tax effectively help our children and grandchildren save for that down payment? The best news of all, of course, is that because this funds are going into the FHSA, we are not concerned about the normal attribution rules that could apply if the money was invested in a typical non-registered type environment.
Yeah, that's very important and great advice. And they could actually not only utilize the FHSA, but also TFSA and others. So getting all of those plans, if there is the funds available, and depending on the amount that's gifted, could start to get all of those vehicles going at the same time. I think it's so important that you mention about deferring the deduction and how important and impactful that can be. So again, advice is key here from a financial advisor as well as an accountant. So great, great tips. I know you have your weekly column in the National Post and you're a regular on BNN and others. Where will we see you next? And, you know, is there more coming on FHSA for the fall?
Yeah. So again, I mean, I think as these plans become, more and more popular, there's going to be lots of discussion. We've started to do some modeling in terms of if you contributed the $8,000 a year and you also maybe get a tax refund and you contribute that refund into a TFSA and then you use the home buyer's plan, you know, how much could a couple actually save? And, you know, the recent example that I was writing about just a few weeks ago was a column I published on that exact topic, which found that just with the sort of average rates of return, you could probably save up to $260,000 with a couple if you start right now and save over a period of time. So, I mean, these numbers do add up over time, depending on when you're going to buy your home. But I think the most important thing to do is if you are a first-time home buyer, by definition, again, don't own a home this year, don't own a home in the previous 3-4 years, why wouldn't you think of contributing to an FHSA rather than an RSP or a TFSA? Because you get a tax deduction right now, and then if you do buy a home, you do not have to pay tax on that withdrawal.
Yeah, well said. And, you know, if the earlier, we know this for everything, the earlier you start saving, the better. But in this case, if you start to invest and you're, you know, not looking to buy a home within 8-10 years, like that's a huge runway to save. Jamie, thank you so much for joining me today. Great conversation, really important topic for Canadians. It was a pleasure to have you here.
My pleasure. Thanks, Carissa.
There's a lot to think about when it comes to saving for your first home. So I hope this episode inspired you to think about your own situation and what makes sense for you personally. Despite barriers like inflation and rising interest rates, it's clear that the dream of home ownership persists among Canadians. We've seen that there is still considerable optimism, with 44% of Canadians saying it's a good opportunity to get into the market right now. The FHSA is coming to CIBC this November. Connect with your advisor or visit cibc.com/FHSA to sign up for updates. You can also listen to CIBC's economist Benjamin Tal talk about the housing environment in our recent podcast episode, Rent Versus Buy. And on the topic of investing in real estate, you can sign up for our upcoming virtual event with Scott McGillivray at cibc.com/smartadvice. Thank you for tuning into this episode of Smart Advice. To make sure you never miss an episode, subscribe or follow on your favorite podcast platform. Thank you for joining.